everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob on the other side of the glass producing and engineering the Buckmaster Show. And together we welcome you to the program. It's Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also, of course, the 24/7 feed from KVOI.com. All of our podcasts are available for you at my website. You can listen at your leisure 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Have a very busy hour. Shelley Fishman with his certified, he is the certified financial planner, the Buckmaster Show. He'll be coming up with his Tuesday money market report. Shelley, is there a big thumb? Oh, kind of look, a thumb is going sideways. That means the market's kind of like, so-so, up, down. We're going to begin with the new leader of the University of Arizona Tech Parks. Carol Stewart is a new resident to our town, new to the University of Arizona. She will have in her portfolio two parks, the very successful UA Tech Park at Rita Road and the development of the University of Arizona Tech Park at the Bridges. Carol, welcome to Tucson.
Thank you, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, and I know you're from Ontario in Canada. You were working with, you tell our listeners what you were doing.
Sure. It's my pleasure to be here and to be in Tucson. I'm not getting anything.
And we'll fix your headset here in a second, but go ahead while you're talking. Go ahead. You can tell us a little bit about what you were doing up in Waterloo in Ontario.
Sure. So at the University of Waterloo, I was there as the research, as the founding director of the research park. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And for 13 years. So I actually took the park from a cornfield and over 13 years created a million square feet of space. It was right on the north campus of the academic campus. And
the University of Waterloo.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And a lot of similarities with the University of Arizona as well.
Uh-huh.
We had about 35,000 students.
Really? That many?
Absolutely. It was very strong in engineering. It's the world's largest computer science and engineering faculty in the world, and also has the largest cooperative education program. So we had 20,000 of those students that went to school for 4 months and then worked for 4 months and continued that throughout their entire education. So this, the companies that located in the research park, this was a great test bed for them to test drive students and then eventually hire them once they graduated. But the park itself, I left it at about a million square feet, 11 buildings. We were at about 100 companies and about 4,000 knowledge workers.
Companies from all over Canada or all over the world. What was your portfolio like there? Diversity?
Sure, that's a really great question. So there was at the heart of every research park is an incubator. So ours was called the Accelerator Center. We created it in 2006 and have graduated 70 companies. We had our first unicorn. Are you familiar what a unicorn is, Bill?
No, tell me, bottom line.
Certainly. That is a Silicon Valley term, and that is a startup company that reaches a valuation of $1 billion.
Bob, and on the other side, my producer is putting a unicorn thing on his head. No, it's like, you know, unicorn. Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. So out of our incubator,
yes.
there's a lot of frivolity going on in here,
yeah,
today. Out of our incubator, so we graduated over 70 companies, billions of dollars of economic impact, and we had, like I said, our first unicorn, so $1 billion evaluated company, which is really a kind of a superstar goal for every incubator.
So this obviously made you an attractive candidate for the University of Arizona when longtime Tech Park leader Bruce Wright retired. Bruce was there forever. I can remember doing story. I've been in town, Carol, over 30 years, and I can kind of remember when the whole Rita Road thing began, And it's been incredibly successful, hasn't it? The Rita Road facility.
It really has. Yeah. And you know what? It's a big year this year, Bill. It's the 25th anniversary.
Really?
I know. And Bruce left that for me to celebrate. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah. You'd think he would maybe want to stay through the 25th anniversary, but no, he's doing other things. So what would you like to see at the Rita Road and with this, the bridges?
Well, really, I mean, tech parks are the technology playground. It's where commercialization happens, startups. We take ideas out of the university. We commercialize them. We find markets. We create startups. Then we help scale those companies and ultimately grow them into global successful companies. And that's really the continuum that happens in research parks.
The bridges is where, for folks who don't know.
That's at Keno. Uh-huh. And 36th.
And what is the potential there?
The potential there is going to be well over 1 million square feet, probably 6,000 to 10,000 knowledge workers. You know, the mix is still being worked out. The vision. There's different precincts that are created in the tech park section of that development. So there's a technology section precinct. There's a business precinct. There's a university precinct. So we see a real mix of different types of companies and entities coming together for that collision opportunity.
We're speaking with Carol Stewart. Carol is the new leader of the UA Tech Parks. We're on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. What kind of a goal have you set for yourself? Obviously, you're stepping in on the 25th anniversary. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But is there still room at the UA Tech Park at Rita Road, or is that pretty much built out? What are the plans there?
Certainly. We're actually we're building out new amenities for the 6,000 knowledge workers that are there on
campus.
You've
got 6,000 now.
6,000.
And I know Raytheon still has a big presence,
Raytheon's
right?
Raytheon's huge.
Okay.
IBM. There's. We have new companies coming in. We have a brand new company coming in, a Vail-based company called CTEC, with Israeli roots, mm-hmm. brought to us by the board of chamber at Vail, the new board of chamber there. So you know, we have little companies coming in, and then we have the giants of Raytheon and IBM and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
But we're building out amenities for those.
There's going to be a hotel coming? Or?
There's a hotel located right at the entrance, a New Hampton Inn, and that'll be opening in May. So, and then we're building some amenities on the 1,300-acre campus as well.
How about your connections with Canada? Will that help?
Help in what way?
In bringing new business maybe to Tucson and the tech parks.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, Waterloo is very sophisticated when it comes to tech companies and startup companies. And so there's always an opportunity to reach back into those Canadian roots. I know there's very strong ties to Western Canada as well. And so I think there's some natural connections we can make there as well.
And again, the search committee obviously felt that you were a very good fit because you said there are similarities with the University of Waterloo, which was named Canada's most innovative university, I think, for 26 consecutive years.
Correct.
by Maclean's, the Canadian news magazine. So the search committee saw these similarities, correct?
I believe so. I think the candidate pool was a good one that they put together.
I mean, it's a very attractive job. I mean, I'm sure there was a large candidate pool.
Well, and it was funny because, and if you've got time, Bill, I'll tell you a little bit of the story.
Give me a kind of bottom line story.
So when they were doing the search, I was actually the CEO of the International Association of University Research Parks, AURP.
Okay.
And because when people come into this job, they've never gone to school to become a research park director. there's only 200 of those people that do that job in North America.
Right.
So the pool is fairly small, 700 worldwide. But I was talking with the firm that was doing the search, and they said, you know, what criteria should we be looking for? And I'd done probably a dozen of these conversations before. So I had my feet up on my desk and I'm having a lovely conversation with the head hunting organization. And they're like, time out. we want you to consider the job. And I said, so my feet hit the ground. And I sat up a little straighter.
Tucson's attractive this time of year, especially with the weather. I'm sure Waterloo is not really very warm right now.
We had a snowstorm today.
And where I'm from, Chicago, it's going to be colder in Chicago at 25 below than it is on Mount Everest, Antarctica. I mean, it's... I grew up in Chicago, and 20 below was really as cold as I can ever remember. I mean, you're frostbitten within 10 minutes if
Absolutely.
You're not covered.
Absolutely.
5 to 10 minutes.
So. Absolutely.
But anyway, about tech parks, I remember early in my career, I was working in the 80s in Silicon Valley and TV in San Jose when Stanford really Stanford University was sort of launching the whole tech park concept. I'm sure that was kind of the catalyst for really tech parks all over North America.
Absolutely. There's really two that bookend the U.S.
What are
and
they?
That's Stanford
right.
and Research Triangle Park in North Carolina.
Okay.
That came up in the 50s, that concept at RTP. And Stanford is the golden child.
Yeah.
That's what everybody... But again, very traditional models of the sort of urban, suburban parks. Whereas today, the trends are really focusing more on the urban, bringing those buildings and those companies closer together so that they have those collisions that are more natural.
All right, Carol Stewart, let's bring you back after you got settled on the job a little bit and see how you're doing.
Sounds great.
Thanks.
You've
very
got
much.
My number.
Thanks very much, Carol, and good luck to you.
Great, thank
Carol
you.
Carol Stewart is the new leader of the UA Tech Parks, overseeing UA Tech Park at Rita Road and the development of UA Tech Park at the Bridges. And again, thank you very much, Carol, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, we are on 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Buckmaster. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, a great place to get, well, I think, finest pastries in town. One of our guests yesterday on our political face-off was saying that he's now into the brownies. I don't blame them. The brownies are fantastic. And those chocolate chip cookies. Shelley Fishman with me in studio. Shelley, I'll get with you in a second about about financial matters. But I know you like bakery goods.
Oh, yeah, too much.
There you go. Too much. But he does love them. Mona's DanishBakery.com. And, of course, a link to Mona's at BuckmasterShow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley, you're looking good. You've been working out or something?
Been working out. I built a gym at the house.
That's what I heard.
Down about 15 pounds.
Unbelievable.
And I'm just feeling lean and mean.
And
like the market.
The working out every day kind of helps strengthen the back muscles and
Absolutely.
Everything else, which get weakened as we age, as I have discovered. Speaking of weak, the market showed some weakness yesterday, but a little bit of a rebound today.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to head for about 100 points on the day up on the Dow, but the NASDAQ is not doing that well. So I'm calling it kind of a neutral day today. It's not the Tuesday that we've become unfortunately used to.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? So this would be a good opportunity to kind of pick up where I wanted to go last week, but I think I was diverging into some other areas that I felt were really timely and needed to be talked about last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I do want to talk about the situation with, it's really an emerging national discussion about tax policy.
Right. And this really gets to one of the basic fundamental changes in our economy over the past two generations. And that has to do with income inequality and the fact that the middle class is more and more becoming less and less participatory in the growth of the economy. As a result, that threatens the 66-70% piece of the economy that is consumer-driven.
You're talking about a shrinking middle class.
We're talking about a shrinking middle class and a middle class that has felt stagnated disaffected and more and more so in the past 20 years. Hmm. So that's resulted in political change. It's resulted in some dislocations in what we thought was kind of a straight line projection of the American society that knew where it was going and felt good about itself. And so right now we're seeing more unrest, and that's, you know, we see that in the political scene, and we see it to some extent all over the world, because the industrialized countries are all facing, to some extent or another, a similar problem in that the middle class does not feel that it is participating in what appears to be good, healthy growth. Now, what I'd like to discuss today is three ways of fixing it, but specifically the first way is through tax policy. Clearly, education is another way of fixing it, and the third way of fixing it is through some sort of national service or some way of getting everybody to participate in, you know, having a stake in a successful outcome. But let's talk about tax policy. And the reason it's becoming so much a part of the conversation now is we're seeing some politicians, mostly on the left, talk about reforming tax policy to return more of the growth in GDP to the middle classes through reversing some of the reforms in taxation that started during the Trump, the Reagan era. So you have some of the folks on the left talking about taking the marginal tax rate and moving it back up. You know, back when I was growing up, it was at 92-93%. Then during the Kennedy years, it came down to the 70s. And then during the Reagan years, it was brought all the way down to the 30s, which is
35%,
pretty much
somewhere around that. Yeah,
which is pretty much where it is today. The current conversations are talking about bringing the marginal rate, not the overall tax rate, just the marginal rate above $10 million. Back to around 70%. And the thinking is that if you have $10 million in income, that a 70% marginal rate could generate as much as $300 billion a year into the economy. And that's money that could be used to retire debt, to be used for infrastructure, and to be used to pay for some of the other things people are talking about, like universal health care and debt-free education.
Yeah, the universal health care. Could you take a quick call about that, Shelley?
Absolutely.
Richard has a question about paying for Medicare for all. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, thank you, Bill. Yes, Shelley, wanted to ask you about that. You know, I think it's the Kaiser Foundation that has estimated the cost of Medicare for all at $3.2 trillion to $3.5 trillion per year. So that $300 billion won't even scratch the surface. How would you see, and by the way, I have typically voted for Democratic in the past. You know, I'm an independent, but they've left me lately with this. This is just too socialistic. But how would you see the tax breaks, tax brackets? Somebody's taxes are going to double. That's as much money as our entire treasury brings in an entire year.
Richard, that's a great question. And let me just comment on...
How in the world are they going to pay for it? Nobody will tell me.
Okay. Well, and I think the reason nobody will tell you right now is because nobody really knows. The math on that needs to be worked out, and it needs to be worked out not only in terms of the end goal, which is universal health care, but the steps of getting there. So, and yes, universal health care will have a very large price tag, but keep in mind, we're not starting from nothing. We're starting from a very large price tag. In fact, our price tag for medical care right now is higher as a percentage of our GDP than it is in the rest of the industrialized world. So one of the things we need to do is bring the overall cost of medical care down as a percentage of GDP, down to the 11 or 12% range from where it is today at 18 or 19%. That's going to get us a lot of the way there. Now, that doesn't happen overnight, clearly. The other way is, remember, it's not as if medical costs today aren't being incurred by people. They're being incurred through insurance companies and through Medicare and Medicaid. That has to be the steady state. So if that number is, well, let's just say for argument's sake, you know, 800 billion or 900 or a trillion, then the increment to go to universal care is much less than what you're saying. The question is, how do you transfer the costs from where they are today, being paid for by employers and private insurers, et cetera, to some tax-based system? And at this point, I would say the good thing about having this conversation is we're going to start to see some plans that get to the answer to that question. The reason you're not getting an answer to that question today is because there isn't one. But we know in other societies and other industrialized countries, they do that quite well.
Shelley, any quick final remark here about your tax policy?
Yeah, so one of the ways of approaching this is through changing the marginal rate on the top earners. Another way, and it was actually I think written about today by Steve Ratner in the Times, the New York Times, is to change the way we treat capital gains so that we take away the break that we give to capital gains taxation, which now maximizes at around 23%, and we simply call that income so that all income is taxed the same way. That could actually produce another $300 or $400 billion a year. So we begin to see that we reverse the Reaganomic kind of supply side, give it to the richest people who will trickle down all of that investment. We saw that didn't really happen as well as they had forecasted, and begin to reverse that and get that back into the economy from the perspective of creating jobs, investing in infrastructure, and helping people be trained and skilled in the new economy, which is very different from the old manufacturing economy.
Shelley Fishman on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Shelley, thank you very much. I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners to that beautiful area of the southwestern United States and southwestern corner of New Mexico. So many people have said to me, Bill, I had no idea that such a beautiful area over there. The good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org, for a complete listing of the many great places to stay. And there's so many recreation opportunities like the Gila National Wilderness, really America's first national wilderness. So great recreation opportunities, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Joel Feinman is with me in studio. Joel is Pima County Public Defender, but he's not here on behalf of his very busy day, usually, of the Public Defender's Office. He's here on his own time to talk about making Tucson, this is a petition drive that's now underway, that would make Tucson, going from an immigrant welcoming city, which we are right now, to Arizona's first sanctuary city. Joel, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me why you're so enthusiastic about this effort.
Because I can't imagine anything that's a more noble cause. The word sanctuary has become weaponized, but let's take it back to what the word means. The word means place of safety and place of refuge. Whether it's Bethlehem, whether it's Medina, our entire civilizations and cultures are based on this idea that the highest calling, one of the highest callings, is to provide safety and refuge to the least among us. The idea of Tucson Families Free and Together is to provide a place of safety and refuge for immigrants, for asylum seekers, to make Tucson more safe for people of color, for people who don't speak English, who don't look like us, who don't talk like us. Seeks to fulfill our highest aspirations. And quite frankly, I can't think of a more noble cause than that.
What does it mean from a legal point of view?
From a legal standpoint, it would prevent Tucson police officers from detaining people on the basis of race, color, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender, language spoken, manner of dress. And it would prevent Tucson police officers and city employees from cooperating with national immigration officials unless expressly authorized by law.
Are we covered in those areas currently from a legal point of view?
Well, that's going to be the big debate. Mm-hmm. We specifically wrote this initiative to walk right up to the line of SB 1070, to push back against SB 1070, but to withstand any legal challenge on the basis of SB 1070.
Do you think it would withstand a legal challenge?
Absolutely.
From the Arizona Supreme Court and perhaps ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court?
I do.
And why do you think that?
Because we wrote it carefully. Because we wrote it in order to withstand a legal challenge in mind, we looked at the outstanding case law, we looked at the statutory law, and we said, how far can we go and still win? And that's exactly how far we went.
Would it open the door to, let's put it, the heat would be on Tucson, as it's often on Tucson from our predominantly conservative Maricopa County friends, would they be saying, oh, whoa, sanctuary city, we got to put the brakes on this?
Oh, absolutely. And then we turn around and say to them, what kind of a person are you? If you're a Christian, what kind of a Christian are you? If you're a humanist, what kind of humanist are you that you don't think that our cities should be sanctuaries and refuges for the poor, for the oppressed, and for the asylum seekers?
Joel Fineman is with us. Joel is the Pima County public defender, but he's also on his own time very much involved with this effort to make Tucson a sanctuary city. We're on AM 1030. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Let's talk a little bit about what it's going to take to get this on the ballot.
It's going to take 9,200 signatures on a petition signed by registered voters within the city limits of Tucson.
You have to be living in the city.
You have to be a registered voter, a resident of Tucson. So sorry, my county friends, including my parents, but you can't sign.
Okay.
And then it's going to take 51% of the voters who go to the polls in the November mayoral election to vote to approve this initiative.
Why do you think that it would pass?
Absolutely. I think it will pass once we recognize sanctuary is not a dirty word.
Because right now it is stigmatized.
It is stigmatized, but then we have to look at what should be stigmatized. Separating families should be stigmatized. Children in cages, keeping warm only with aluminum blankets, should be stigmatized. Detaining people and deporting them, splitting families apart, should be stigmatized. Prosecuting people because they seek asylum or because they're people of color, that should be stigmatized. Sanctuary should be elevated.
Are there other sanctuary cities? I know we'd be the first in Arizona. Are there any other in the United States?
Oh, there are several, including several sanctuary states, Illinois and California, chief among them.
And what have the courts said about those areas?
It's very different because of SB 1070.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at the language other states and other cities have used, we really had to, going back to your question about why I'm so confident we'll withstand a legal challenge, because we specifically tailored the initiative to SB 1070. So there's not really a lot of case law out there, certainly not from other jurisdictions, because SB 1070 is Arizona specific.
What are the police doing now that they perhaps couldn't do under the sanctuary city provisions?
It's not a question of what they're doing now that they can't do. It's a question of institutionalizing what they're already doing. So TPD general orders are really good in some respects. They prevent Tucson police officers from detaining people on the basis of certain categories. We want to support that. We want to expand that, and we want to give it the force of law, not just TPD general orders, which can be changed depending on who the chief of police is, but we want the entire city to stand up and support what TPD is already doing.
Are you getting any feedback from law enforcement?
Law enforcement has been on record saying they've read the initiative and they're reviewing it with their attorneys.
Mm-hmm. I think this could really be a defining issue in the Tucson mayoral race. We had Steve Farley on the show last week. We'll be having Rahina Romero on, I think she's actually on Valentine's Day, February 14th. And of course, I asked Mr. Farley, Joel, about his position on this, and he does not have a position at this point. We will also figure out whether or not Rahina Romero is on board. But if one is in favor and one isn't, it's going to be a logical conclusion that this could be a defining issue.
I think what I want to focus on is that this is a defining issue for Tucsonans and for Arizonans. I want to focus not necessarily on our city council members who haven't made up their minds, but the more than 20 community organizations, from Child and Family Resources to the Florence Project, that have endorsed this initiative, that stand behind us. I want to focus on the enormous community upswell that says we want to make Tucson a place of refuge and safety.
And how does SB 1070 play into the picture? Give me the bottom line and how this affects this whole movement, the Sanctuary City movement.
So most, thankfully, most of SB 1070's provisions have been struck down by courts. There's really only one provision that remains, which requires law enforcement to ask about immigration status. We're not violating that. We're not saying TPD can't ask about immigration status. All we're saying is that when you do ask about immigration status, you cannot make a basis of that judgment sexual orientation, gender, color of skin, ethnicity, things like that.
All right. Joel Fineman, your petition, is there a central place where people can sign, or what would you like our listeners to know?
I would love for you to sign the petition wherever you see it. You will see us everywhere, from the rodeo to the 4th Avenue Street Fair. But what you can do today before you see us in person is go on to TucsonFamiliesFreeAndTogether.org. You can read more about us and read about the community organizations that have really endorsed this initiative and gotten behind it.
Is there an organized effort against it yet?
Not yet, but I am looking forward to it
imminently. Well, once there is, we will certainly have, we've got plenty of seats here, as you can see in our new studios, unlike before, but there is room here at the table. We will certainly debate it right here on Buckmaster.
I'd love to come in for a rousing debate, Bill.
Thank you very much, Joel Fineman. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, my
Joel
friend.
Is the public defender in Pima County, and he is here not in that capacity, but as a private citizen who is supporting the Sanctuary City movement. Joel, I hope you have a great rest of the week.
I will. You too, Bill.
All right. This is 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be right back with our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, right after this. Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Viro Mori, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Mori on the web at viroamori.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we are excited to announce that our annual travel showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. One of our two dozen contributors on the Buckmaster Show. I'm so proud of this team that we've assembled of people that are contribute to this program on a monthly, sometimes even twice a month. But Dr. Robert Hendricks is the Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practices. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He even has a school named after him that one of my Facebook friends was pointing out the other day. Tell Dr. Hendricks hello, and he's got a school named after him, which is really exciting. Bob Hendricks also named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. What is the school? Where is the school? First of all, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Where is the school?
It's on Orange Grove.
Okay.
Near Shannon.
Is it an elementary school?
It's an elementary school, yes, K through 6.
What are we going to do about this teacher shortage? Just when we think, we've got a little more money for teachers, I see in the Wall Street Journal, nationwide teachers are leaving the profession at record rates.
Well, Bill, we've seen this employment exodus before. When there's times of low unemployment, some teachers start scanning the market to see if there's a better job opportunities. I think the major difference this time is that we're pulling teachers out of a very shallow employment pool already. So there really are not that many people in the pool. And so when we have people leaving the situation, it really exacerbates the problem even more and becomes more serious. And we're struggling. We're struggling to find qualified teachers. I mean, we used to see that there was a problem with finding math teachers or science teachers or special education teachers. Now we're even seeing vacancies at the elementary school level.
It has spread now to the elementary schools?
Yes, it has.
Oh, my goodness. I was just going to say one of the quotes in this Wall Street Journal article, I had to quit for my sanity. That's what this one teacher said.
Well, USA Today just finished a very comprehensive poll on teachers, and stress is one of those major issues. But I know districts are really working hard to heavily recruit, and this is a national effort, and they're offering bonuses, subsidized housing, even free tuition for advanced degrees. And we even have districts here in Arizona that are trying to be creative in finding ways to recruit people. And we're seeing more job fairs. That's becoming the norm. We're also seeing more newspaper ads. I mean, it was not very common in the past to see large newspaper print ads, asking for teachers to come. In fact, it's so competitive that in Phoenix, the Fort Worth School District put five billboards along I-10.
What?
Yes. It says, this is what the billboards say, Bill. They say,
what in the world's going on?
Your future is in the Fort Worth classroom. Teacher starting salaries, $52,000. These are digital billboards. There's five of them they bought last year. Right as you drive through Phoenix, I'm sure some of your listeners have seen them. And it's like, they're recruiting right in our own neighborhood. And so, as I said, USA Today has looked at this problem. They surveyed an extensive group of teachers.
Yeah, Bob just posted this on our screen here in the studio,
so
I could get a look at it.
Yeah.
And Bob, you've also got a screen over here now, too.
Yeah, there it is. It's
in our new studio. I like the way we've got these screens, and it says, your future, and they've got future capitalized, is in a Fort Worth classroom. Now, they go on to say on the billboard, teacher starting salary, $52,000?
Right.
Starting?
Yes.
Whoa.
And, you know, there's another example I think of, you know, when you land in Las Vegas at the airport,
yeah,
when you go down the escalator, there's a big sign that says you could be teaching here in Clark County.
Yeah.
And so I think people are looking at very creative ways to try to recruit, you know, even in other people's backyards.
When we continue, Carl's going to be on the line, but we're going to talk a little bit about Green Things, our great sponsor, Green Things. Bob, you and your lovely wife, Ann, do some gardening, don't you?
We do.
Yeah. And you've been by Green Things.
Oh, we've been to Green Things. Mm-hmm. I like their plants because they're fresh.
And they're grown here.
In many cases, they're grown here.
Right.
Correct.
3384 East River Road by the Rito River. And it's not just about Green Things. It's about beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe at Zocalo. For years, Zocalo over there at Country Club and Broadway had a great reputation. Well, they still do, and the shops are, five shops are at Zocalo Village on the 13-acre site at Green Things. So it's greenthingsaz.com. If folks would like more information, go by, check out Green Things.
All right. They have a new entrance, too, I noticed. It really is very impressive.
Yes, it is. That's the new entrance right on River Road, and there's the big sign that says Zocalo. So this is a real nice marriage of what they'd been doing over there with all the nursery plants and now with the Zocalo merchandise. Carl is with us, 790-2040. Go ahead, Carl.
Morning, Carl.
Yeah, good morning.
Afternoon.
Afternoon,
I guess.
And I went down. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a vet, and I went down to one of the job fairs that the PUSD had to try and hire people. And I gave them my resume, and I could tell immediately, as soon as they saw the point that said veteran that served in the military, the body language of the individual looking at it changed, and I can't say became actively hostile, but became actively disinterested.
Wow.
And I've talked, and I've
I'm
talked
surprised.
To several other, and I've talked to several other people who are vets, and basically they don't want us. You know, the attitude coming across, and this is me, what my personal feeling to pick up on it is, you've got a whole bunch of people in there that are, lack of a better term, liberal, progressive, anti-military, and don't want to even consider military personnel for those positions.
Wow. Now,
can I ask you, Carl, do you have a teacher certificate?
I did have, and I was looking at getting it reactivated.
Okay, so...
And they still weren't interested.
Okay, even though, you know, sometimes they a district will not give you a second look if you don't have the qualifications, but if you're saying you I'm surprised at that.
Hmm.
Okay, but there were people there who didn't have the qualifications at all, who had bachelor's degrees in English or something else, and they were actively saying, this is what you need to do, this is where you go, we can help you do this.
Okay.
Hmm.
And you didn't feel you had that treatment?
Hmm.
No.
Okay, Carl, hopefully we can get that changed by you bringing this to the light of day. I thank you very much, Carl.
Check out some other districts, Carl.
Yeah, check out other districts was the advice, Carl, from Bob Hendricks, Dr. Hendricks. That's actually good advice. So where are we going with this whole, this competitive recruiting? I mean, what, like at the U of A, what is the situation? I mean, are young people still interested in going into the profession?
I think they are, but again, the interest is going to increase or wane based on the employment situation. I mean, during recessive times, there's a lot more interest. You can almost chart the amount of interest by the economic times. But I think beyond that, I mean, we've always known that teachers' pay was lower than it should be, that teachers also say in the USA Today survey that there's too much paperwork, that they're dealing with more difficult students, and interestingly, another comment, they're dealing with hovering parents.
Whoa.
And so, you know, those are comments. I can't really put a statistic on those, but those are comments that some teachers are making in terms of why they're leaving. 66% of teachers felt they were not paid fairly, which tends to mirror what the public polls are saying, too. Most of the public says teachers, at least two-thirds are saying teachers are not paid enough. And nearly 4 out of 10 teachers in this poll worked a second job over the past year to make ends meet.
Wow. Well, hopefully the teachers here in Arizona will get the money that has been promised to them.
Well, the governor has promised it over 3 years.
But now there's some questions about this tax deal that I'm hearing about.
Exactly.
Which we're going to explore with J.D. Mesnard, the senator who's head of the Senate Finance Committee. He's going to be on the show here Friday, but we're hearing all sorts of things about money that should be going to the classroom. Perhaps we're talking several $100,000 will not be going to the classroom.
It's become what I predicted, a shell game.
Yep.
And I think we're going to have to watch where the pea is under the shell.
Under the pea. Yeah. All right. Dr. Bob Hendricks, thank you very much. We'll look forward to your visit in February and hope you have a great rest of the week. Thanks,
Bob. Bill.
All right. We are on 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Coming up next, Steve Rivera, his program, Eye on the Ball. Our thanks to Bob Dio. Thanks, Bob. Another great show behind the glass there, keeping all the buttons pushed in the right on in the on position, right? Have a great afternoon and evening, everybody.